Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the church for truth seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at www.ccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Saints. Hallelujah. Really thankful to have this opportunity with you this morning. If you need a Bible, please raise your hand and we'll provide one to you. It's always good to hold on to something. We have the Bibletron on the walls, but it's always good to hold on to something. First of all, I just want to thank you all for being here this morning. It is a blessing. We are in the year 5775 according to the Hebrew calendar. Amen. As you know, that started in September 24th, the top of the year. And what is the top of the year? What's the top of the year? What is it called? The year of the open window. We are coming out of 5774, which is the year of the open door. 5775 is the year of the open window. See, in your house, wherever you live, how many doors you got? Maybe one or two? Maybe two doors? But how many windows do you have? Hallelujah. So can you imagine him pouring out blessings in all those windows all over that house? That's what he has available to us. Those are the blessings. And so I'm thankful that we are in that time. So he's got to prepare us for this. And so that's what we've been doing. We've been trying to prepare ourselves for the blessings. How do we do that? Well, we got to embrace the change, the transformation that he's worked in us. Amen? Who's embracing the change that he's made in your life? Amen. So we got to do that. Now, as I go along, you'll be hearing the name Yeshua. Yeshua is the true Hebrew name for the Savior. Many of you have heard it as Jesus, but there's no J in the Hebrew language. That name didn't come to 1611 with Constantine. So it was like, what was he called? And so as we study, because the Bible says study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we found out that his name is Yeshua, but his name meant something. Yeshua means he will save, he will deliver. So the very name that he was given is the name that called out his purpose. And I know that you guys are gathered here because somebody was saved and somebody was delivered by Yeshua. Amen? Amen. So just want to share that with you if you're just joining us. Now let's turn in our word to Isaiah, the 55th chapter. And for you Hebrew scholars, it is Yeshayahu. So it's Isaiah, the 55th chapter. In everything in our lives, there has to be a preparation. He's preparing us for something. You know, when you were born, you were being prepared for something. And you took your journey that you went on. We went to preschool, some of us. Some of us went to kindergarten. Some of us went to elementary school, right? What's the next one? Well, you know, when I was in school, it was called junior high school. Now they call it middle school. I think we need to go back to junior high. Amen. It worked. High school, whatever your education was, you were being prepared for something. Your spiritual life is no different than that. Every week that you come to a Bible study or every time you come to a service, Yahweh is preparing you for something. There is a work that you're going to be encountering. There's going to be something that you're going to be coming in contact with on a daily basis. And every day is brand new to me. There's always something new going on. Anybody have that same experience? So you got to listen, because he's trying to prepare us for things that are coming our way. And so this is no different. So when we go to Yeshayahu, Isaiah, the 55th chapter, let's go to the 7th verse. Now, we used to be a certain way before. Before we came into our salvation, we lived a certain way, right? But when we came to the knowledge of Yeshua, and we said, hey, you know what? We're tired of living this life. We're going to live our life according to the word. Something happened to you. You were transformed, right? A transformation took place. So what you did is that we found the word repent from the Greek word metanoia. And that means to turn your thinking, to change your mind to a new way of living, a new way of thinking. And so that's what we did. And so we found out that we have to embrace that new way of living and a new way of what? Thinking, right? If you were a former dope dealer or gangbanger, you did things according to what? The gangbanging code. You did things according to the what? Dope dealing code. But when you changed your life around to a kingdom lifestyle, you can't use that code. In the kingdom, it don't work. So you can't come with your dope dealing ways. You can't come with your what? Gangbanging ways. You can't bang in the church. Though some have tried. But it is not the life that we have what? Chose to do. When there is conflict, we go to the word. Hallelujah. We cannot go to fisticuffs. So you got to embrace the brand new what? Change in thinking. Hey, when you was in the world, there was the way you used to talk. Some of y'all could cuss all the way from A to Z. And you would not pause. And you could put those curse words together in such a wonderful way. You were fluent in cursism. But that was the language that you used. But now that you have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, you have a completely, totally new language, a holy language, a righteous language. Amen. And so you got to what? Embrace that. You can't go back to the way you used to, the profanity ease that you used to speak, right? It's a kingdom language. It's a kingdom way of thinking. So we got to what? Embrace it. Tell your neighbor we got to embrace that. We got to embrace that. That's what we got to do. And so this is our wellspring scripture, Isaiah 55:7, which says, let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man his thoughts. So we have to forsake our way, and we have to forsake our thoughts. Well, what is the root of your way? What is the root of the things that you do? It starts with your thoughts, your thinking, right? And so you have to what? Forsake it. What does forsake means? Get rid of it. Kick it to the curb. Leave it behind. Don't pay no attention to it, right? And so it says, and let him return unto Yahweh, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. Why do we need to forsake our thoughts? Because the 8th verse tells us, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith Yahweh. So there is a way that he is trying to lead us. There is a way that he was trying to direct us. And so we have to embrace that and follow. Tell your neighbor, we got to follow his direction. Okay, so that is what we have been commissioned to do.
So the ninth verse says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." So where are the thoughts? The thoughts are higher. He has a higher thought for you. He has a higher ground. He has a higher place. And if you just give it to him, he's trying to take you to some places that you cannot imagine. The word says, eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. Neither has it entered into the hearts of men what Yahweh has what prepared for those who love him. Do you want to know what he has prepared for you? First of all, let me ask you a question. Do you love him? No, let me ask, do you love him? Okay, so if you love him, he's got some preparations for you. He's prepared a place. He's prepared some stuff for you. Now, does that mean that you got to wait till you get to the glory? There's some stuff right here that he wants to do with you and in your life. He wants to take you to a higher level now. You ain't got to wait till later. You can experience the higher level now. Who wants it now? I want it now. Well, how do we get it? We got to forsake our thoughts and what? Our ways. And we got to seek his thoughts and what? His ways. Hallelujah. So that's what we were sharing. And so I want to take you to, let's go to Matityahu, Matthew, the 12th chapter. So how do we do this? We've been talking about it. We've been talking about how do we embrace this change? What are the types of things that are supposed to be happening? What are the things that I'm supposed to be doing? Well, we find out that it all happens and starts in the mind. We found out that when the word speaks of the heart, we find that we look at the Greek word heart, because we can't say that all those things start in the heart, because we start thinking, well, that is a muscle that pumps the blood, right? But we find out that it doesn't mean the muscle that pumps the blood. The word, the Greek word for heart in the word is cardia. And cardia means the mind. So when the word speaks about the heart, it is talking about the mind. What proof do you have? Well, let's go to Matthew, 12th chapter. 34th verse. You got it? It says, "O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." So you don't conceive what you're going to say in your heart. You actually conceive what you're going to say in your what? Mind. And out of the abundance of the mind means the stuff that you are thinking. Then what happens? You speak it. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody and they say, "Oops, I didn't mean to say that"? Well, it was in your what? Mind. And it what? Came out. Right? And so we gotta realize it's conceived in the mind. Say, it's conceived in the mind. And it comes out the mouth. Because some stuff you're trying to keep in your mind, you're like, "Oh, let me hide that." But before you know it, it has what? Slipped out. Sometimes you guys' language slips out. You forget that you're kingdom people. And you talk and you're like, "Oh, excuse my French. Last I checked, that wasn't French." And how do I know? Because I have a Frenchman here, Nico. And Nico knows French. He speaks French. And none of those words are in the French vernacular. Am I right? Right. So, but where did it come from? It came from the what? Thoughts in the mind. Because out of the abundance of the heart or the mind, the what? Mouth speaketh. So how do you know that, Pastor Tom? Okay, well, the Bible says line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. So let's go to the 15th chapter of Matthew. We're going to stay in the same book, but we're going to go to the 15th chapter. So move forward a couple, two, three chapters. And we're going to go to the 19th verse. And this is what it says. It says, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and that sounds like a bunch of bad stuff. So that is not coming from the heart that pumps the blood. This is our proof that it comes from the what? The mind. Because for out of the mind proceed what? Evil thoughts. What are those evil thoughts? Murders, adulteries, what? Fornications, thefts, false witness, laughs. Listen, in your mind, we got a lot of murdering going on. Because haven't you? Just tell the truth to yourself. Somebody cuts you off. Right? If you could, you had a thought. The thought said, take that car and ram it right into him. Isn't that what happens? Right? And then some of y'all, they go by you, and you go, and you trying to catch up to them. What you going to do when you catch up to them? You running up on them. You going to what? You going to look at them. Right? You going to say something. Some of y'all might have even thought, let me give them some hand signs. Apostle said, yeah. But what is, and then if you could, if you had, praise God, y'all ain't packing. But if you was packing, you would think, let me get my gat. Right? Let me at least scare him. But that's in the what? Mind. So if you're not careful, your mind will what? It will run away with you. It will get you to doing some stuff. So all of y'all is murderers in your mind. You done murdered somebody in your mind. Why? Because you thought about it. You have shot people. You have stabbed people. Tell the truth. You've done it in your what? Your mind. And why do you do it in your mind? Because you know that you're going to go to jail if you do it in the physical. So you guys will sit there and you will think about how you going to do it. You know, and I'm going to hide right here behind this bush, see? Right? And then when they step out, you know, then I'm going to do this. What happens? That's all what? In the mind. And I told you guys about the story about the lady last week who, it started out with her just thinking about the flowers. She thought, just a random thought. She was thinking about what color flowers that she was going to have at her funeral. And that went all the way from the color of flowers that she wanted to have at her funeral till she saw her husband sitting at the funeral and he was crying and everything. She was visualizing her services. And she was like, oh, I had some purple flowers. Hey, man. Oh, and my husband, you know. And she's a believer. And my husband is sitting there on the front row. Oh, you know, I feel so bad for him. You know, he's going to be, you know, by himself, you know. And he said, my husband, as she looked at, she said, oh, my husband is so good looking. Oh, you know, as she saw him grieving on the front row, and she's like, oh, he's so good looking. Wow, you know, it's a shame that he's going to be alone. And he was like, no, he looks too good. He's not going to be alone. He's going to find somebody. And then she started thinking, well, if he finds somebody, well, how long is he going to wait before he finds somebody? And who is he going to find? And is he going to find a stranger, or is he going to find one of my friends? Because my friends look good too. So is he going to hook up with one of my friends? And by the time she had processed that stuff all in her mind, he came home, didn't know what he was walking into. Basically, so you gonna leave me for my girlfriend, huh? So what does she do? She was tripping. But she allowed her mind to what? Run away with her, right? It's all in the mind. So you got to bring your mind in line with the word. And so it told us out of the mind, all of these things happen. Okay, so this is where I left you guys the last time. So let's go to Genesis, Bereshit, the third chapter. And I'm spending time on this foundation because it's going to be important, because your blessings and your purpose and all the things that Yahweh God has for you are going to be based upon your ability to receive them. It's just like this. Can you go grocery shopping effectively without a basket? Why? Because you need the basket to what? To put your stuff in there. Now, you know, when I tried to control myself, I would be like, okay, I only got a certain amount of money, so let me just get what I can hold on to. And if I can't hold it with my hands, evidently, I don't need it. But effectively, you're going to need to be able to receive what it is that you need. Well, that's why the kingdom works. God wants to bless you, but he's got to know that you are in a position and ready to receive it. Yeah, you know, maybe he wants to give you $1 million. But if you can't handle 20, why would he give you what? A million. So you're going to need how to handle. He said, be faithful over a few things, and I'll make you ruler over many. So you learn how to handle that 20, and then he can say, yeah, my child, I can give you 100. And know how to handle that 100, he said, I can give you 1,000. Know how to handle that 1,000, he said, I can give you 100,000. Know how to do that, and you can handle 1 million. Because how many millionaires have we saw that won the lottery? And in a couple of years, it's what? Why? Because they were not prepared to receive. Amen? So that's what I'm trying to tell you. You have to position yourself to receive. And it starts with your thinking. So it says, where are we, second? The third, three. And so the eyes of them were both open. Genesis 3:7. Genesis 3:7. And what does it say? And the eyes of them were what? Open. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Who are they talking about? Adam and Eve, right? And so they were in the garden. And they ate of the fruit that they were told not to eat of. And now, what's happening? They're thinking differently. They have been thinking the same way for years. But as soon as they decided to be disobedient and to take of the fruit that they were commanded not to, then what happened? Their thinking changed. And what happened? The eighth verse. And they heard the voice of Yahweh walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife, what, hid themselves from the presence of Yahweh the Elohim amongst the trees of the garden. And Yahweh called unto Adam and said, Adam, where are you? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. How many times, how many hundreds or thousands of years had he heard his voice in the garden? And his response was always, he's running to the voice. He's running to speak. He's running to worship. He's running for the communion, the fellowship, the relationship. Now all of a sudden, something has changed. I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid. He was not created to be afraid. He was created for power. He was created to rule and reign. But now something has changed. He's afraid. He says what? He says, I was afraid because I was naked. He's been naked for thousands of years. So what has changed now? His thinking. And then what did he do when he discovered that he was naked? He hid himself. Shame, right? Where does the fear and the guilt and the shame come from? Well, let's see. And he said, who told you that you were naked? So if Yahweh had told him those things, then he would not be asking, who told you that? So evidently the source of where he was being fed those thoughts of fear and guilt and shame came from a different source than Yahweh. So what does that tell you? That tells you that you got to start understanding where your thoughts are coming from. Who are the author of these thoughts? Because if Yahweh said, who told you that? Satan told you that. Right? It wasn't me. So when you are feeling fear, who told you that you guys should be afraid? Who told you that you should be ashamed? Who told you that you should be guilty? Who told you that you should be all these negative things? Well, it's not from the God that we serve. Because the God that we serve said we're more than conquerors. The God that we serve, that he says we can do all things through Yeshua that strengthens us. What? So you got to find out, where are these thoughts coming from? So let's go and find out. Who told you that? So let's go back here to 2 Corinthians. So where are these thoughts coming from? And we find out in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Say the 4th chapter. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. I mean, the 10th chapter, the 4th verse. 10:4. My time is winding down. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 4th verse. You got it? So it says, for our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through Yahweh to the pulling down of what?
Strongholds.
And so we find out in our study in the Greek and the Hebrew that strongholds means a house of thoughts, demonically induced thinking. So a lot of times we have created a way of thinking that has created strongholds that keep us from doing the things that we should be doing or being who we should be. What is one of the biggest strongholds? Fear. I could not fly in peace for years because I thought that the plane was always going to crash. Anytime you go through some turbulence, I was like, oh, God, help me. The plane take a dip to the right or to the left. I was like, oh, God, we going down. Anybody ever flown into Vegas? When you fly into Vegas, there is just something that happens in the atmosphere. That plane be boom. And it's all right. Listen, Pastor Tom flown to Vegas. Some of y'all looking at me crazy. There's some wonderful things in Vegas. Amen. It's a great place to vacation. Amen. Yes, it is. I will never tell you not to go to Vegas. You can still go to Vegas and not. And I've said this, I'll say it again. Sin City is in any city that you decide to sin. Okay? Inglewood can be Sin City if you're sinning in it. Okay? So, yeah, I go to Vegas. Casino in Gardena. Get out of here. I didn't tell y'all to go to the casino in Gardena. Amen. But I'm just saying that those situations that I would fly in, and it just be like, I just knew that it was the end. But then when I start getting in the Word, I realize that He has not given me the spirit of fear, but He's given me the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And the enemy kept on telling me, you need to drink something because of your nerves. Go on and have something to drink. Matter of fact, why don't you pop some pills? Find out let the doctor give you some pills to pop so that you can relax. And I said, you know what? I bind you in the name of Yeshua. I'm going to get the victory. And ever since I start walking in faith, knowing that He's got me wherever and whatever I'm doing, I can fly in peace. I can fly in shalom. I can fly anywhere. But I had to what? I had to change my way of thinking to a kingdom way of thinking. The kingdom way of thinking told me that I had power, right? And so we go here. Strongholds. And so the 5th chapter says, cast down imaginations. What are imaginations? The thoughts that are fed to you, right? Well, that means you got to what? If He says, I got to cast them down, that means that you're going to have some thoughts that come to you that are going to be negative. So you got to choose that I want to what? Cast that thought down, right? And it says, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge. What is the knowledge of Yahweh? It's His word. So if His word says I have authority, if His word says I have power, anything that says less than that, I got to cast it down. Amen. Because I'm not going to live any less than the authority that he's given me. I have made up in my mind that I'm not going to live any less of the power that he's given me to live in. I am no longer going to live beneath what he says that I can live. But what do you have to do? You got to make up your what? Mind. That I'm going to live in power. That I'm going to live in authority. And so it says, every high thing that exalted itself against your knowledge, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Mashiach. So how do you bring thoughts into captivity? Well, the Bible says, there's a word in Hebrews that's called the Sha'ar, S-H-A-A-R. Sha'ar is a gatekeeper. So to take captive over thoughts, you have to be the gatekeeper of what? Your mind. There are going to be, that's gatekeeper. You got to be a gatekeeper. Say, I got to be the gatekeeper. I got to be the gatekeeper. I can't be a gatekeeper for you. Nobody else can be a gatekeeper for you. You have to be the gatekeeper. What does a gatekeeper do? The gatekeeper says, hark, who goes there? Do you have the credentials to pass through? And see, what happens is that a thought is going to come to y'all. But you have to say, hey, where are you coming from? Who sent you? And if you didn't come from, yeah, so let me analyze what are you saying? What you're saying, does it line up with his word? Okay, you saying that I can do all things? Okay, come on in. You say that I'm weak and I can't make it and that I should give up? Go on, get out of here. Get on. I have already defeated you. You are under my feet. I take authority over you in the name of Yeshua. But you got to be the what? Gatekeeper. You have to decide whether you're going to let that thought in or you're going to keep it out. Right? It's all conceived in the what? Mind. I'll give you an example. Do I have a microphone? Give me a cordless microphone. I need one volunteer. Don't be scared. I'm just gonna ask you a few questions. Just raise your hand, one volunteer right here. Microphone. I'll give you an example of why we need to take captive. Okay, I'm gonna tell you three letters. C-A-R. I want you to picture it. That's all I said, I just said C-A-R. Okay, so what color is it?
Red.
It's red. Where is it?
Outside somewhere.
Okay. It's red. So how many doors does it have?
Four.
Four doors? All right. What is it? What's the make?
Nissan Altima.
Take a real good look.
Nissan Altima.
Is it Altima? Oh! Okay, who's driving it?
Me.
And you and your Altima red is sitting somewhere. Where is it sitting?
Well, the car in the parking lot of the church because I'm in the sanctuary.
Hey, okay. So is there an actual C-A-R out there that is a red Altima that you're actually driving today?
No.
Okay. All I told her was C-A-R. And all of a sudden, she started to what? Paint the picture of what it was. I didn't tell her what. She saw it. She saw the color. She saw that it was not a two-door coupe, but it was a four-door sedan. She didn't see nobody else driving it. She was driving it. And she had it parked right out here in the church. Amen, sister. Thank you for being bold like that. Amen. But do you see what we do? We take a suggestion, and what do? We run with it. Your mind will take it and it what? What? Expand it. Now, some of y'all, it was black. Some of y'all, it was two-door. It was a drop top. Somebody had a Bentley. Somebody had a Mercedes. Somebody had a Maserati or a Ferrari.
Just so I know, whose was black? Okay, okay, all right. Who, did anybody have a Mercedes? Mercedes? Yes. You had a Mercedes. Anybody have a Bentley? Oh, Mac had a Bentley. Amen. So what happens is that anything that you start what? Conceiving in your mind, what? You start working it out. But you have to decide what things are of Yahweh and what things are not. So let's go to this chapter. Let's go to Philippians. Your mind is a powerful thing. That's why you got to make up your mind to serve him. Because you can make up your mind to do a whole lot of things. And that's what happened to Adam and Eve. They were not shahars. They were not gatekeepers over what was going on. The suggestions that came to them, they ran with it. They went and ate the apple. They knew better than that, right? But they what? Made up in their mind that they were going to what? Do what they wanted to do. So you got to take control over that. You got to be a gatekeeper that takes thoughts captive. Eighth verse of this Philippians, the fourth chapter. It is in the New Testament, Philippians, fourth chapter, the eighth verse. This can change the course of your life if you get it. All right? If you got it, say, I got it. All right, 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Wait, so we're trying to establish how we should be thinking. So there are some things that are true, and there are some things that are what? False. It says whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. So there's things that are honest, and there are things that are what? Dishonest. Whatsoever things are just. So if there's things that are just, they're going to be things that are what? Unjust. Whatsoever things are pure. They're going to be things that are pure. There's going to be things that are what? Unpure. Whatsoever things are lovely. There's going to be some things lovely. And there are going to be some things that are what? Not lovely. And what's the word that we use for things that are not lovely? Ugly. Right? Ugly things. Right? Okay. Whatsoever things are of a good report. Well, there's some things that are of a what? Bad report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So this tells us that the thoughts that we think should meet a certain criteria. Now, you're going to think a lot of thoughts. But there are thoughts that you just let pass through, and there are thoughts that you actually entertain. And we're talking about the thoughts that you what? Entertain. There's going to be stuff, all manner of things are going to run through your mind. But you have to discern and be the gatekeeper and say, hold up. This is a true thought. This is an honest thought. This is a just thought, or a pure thought, or a lovely thought, or a thought of a good report. If it meets that criteria, then I'm going to what? Think on it, and I'm going to what? Let it in. If it is a untrue thought, and what is an untrue thought? A lie. If it's dishonest, if it's unpure, if it is ugly, if it is of a bad report, then I need to what? Toss it out. It's not good for you. So it needs to meet a certain what? Criteria. So when we entertain certain thoughts, we have to know who is the author of that thought. Where did that thought come from? Did it come from above? Or did it come from what? Beneath. So we gotta analyze that or be the gatekeeper.
keeper of that. So let's go here. Let's go to, I love it. We're running out of time, though. Let's go here to, I want to go to John, Yohanan, the 8th chapter. John, and the Hebrew name for John is Yohanan, the 8th chapter. So we got to take our thoughts captive, right? Good thoughts, bad thoughts. We got to be able to discern the difference. So Yohanan, the 8th chapter, the 42nd verse. You got it? Say, I got it. All right. So 42nd says, Yeshua said unto them, if Yahweh were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from Yahweh. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Who's speaking here? Yeshua, our Savior, is speaking here. And he's saying that if Yahweh were your father, you would love me. Why would you love me? Because then if you're getting your download from Yahweh, and you and your thoughts are in line with Yahweh, then you would receive me because Yahweh sent me. I am of him, right? So you would be receptive to me if Yahweh was your father. But if you're not receptive from me, then evidently your father ain't God, Yahweh. If you're not receptive to the word that Yeshua has to give you and the direction that Yeshua has for your life, who is your father? And y'all got to ask yourself the question, who is my father? Who my daddy? Is your daddy from above or is your daddy from beneath? Why? Because you got to check yourself. Say, I got to check myself. See, other people try to check you. But unless you actually check yourself and receive it yourself, you ain't never going to make a change. You got people, you need to do this and you need to do that. You can't do it unless you have made up in your mind that you want to do it and that you are going to do it. All the nagging in the world. Sisters, stop nagging. It don't work. Until the brother decides that he want to do it, your nagging ain't going to do nothing. Your nagging is going to make him shut down. Any brothers understand what I'm talking about? Or are you afraid to say so? She's like, you better not say nothing. You're going to get it when we get in the car. Yes, yeah, so, you know, but brothers, you are free. This is the sanctuary of Yahweh. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. But somebody said, but I got to go home. But nagging, it don't work. You keep on. That's why Yahweh has given all of us a free will. If he ain't nagging you and beating you over the head to make your choice, then y'all shouldn't. It's going to, everybody has to make up their own mind. Say, I got to make up my mind if I'm going to serve him. Does anybody want to serve him today? Anybody want to serve him? Right? So that's what it says. So let's find out what the author is. He says, Yeshua said, if Yahweh were your father, if God were your father, you'd love me. I came forth from him. I didn't come from myself, but he sent me. So the 43rd verse, so why do you not understand my speech? Why do you not understand what I'm saying to you? Remember, Yeshua is the word wrapped in flesh. So everything that comes out of his mouth is the word. So he's saying, why do you not understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my word. Who is he talking to? He's talking to y'all. He's talking to the church. You are the church. So you got to understand where your directions are what? Coming from. ye are of your father, the devil. Why did he say that? Because he came in contact to some people that didn't understand what he was saying, and he came into some contact with people that were not even trying to hear his word. So they located themselves based upon what they decided to do. He could tell if they were going to be receptive to the word or if they were going to reject the word. And so he says, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father the devil you will do. Why? Who is the father, the devil, as he's saying here? Well, he's going to break down the history. Say, he's going to give me a history lesson. He's about to read the devil. And what is he saying? Well, he was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh what? Of his own. Why? Because he is a liar, and he is the what? Father of it. So when you have thoughts that are lies and things that are not true and things that are impure, who are they coming from? Who are they coming from? And it says what? 45th verse. Because I tell you the truth, you what? You believe me not. The Bible says in the last days, people would rather believe a lie than the truth. And we see that over and over again. But I praise Yahweh that he's given us the Holy Spirit, that we can discern what is the truth and what is what? A lie. And so he's calling his people to embrace the truth, right? So let's go here. James, I'm going to leave you with this. Yaakov, the first chapter. So what do we need to do to get these blessings, this positioning for this right way of thinking? James, the first chapter. Let's go to the first chapter. We're going to go to the 12th verse. You got it? Say, I got it.
Got it.
Blessed is the man. Somebody say, blessed is the woman. This is neuter gender. This is mankind, man and woman. Yes. Blessed is the man that endureth. What is endureth? Endures temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which Yahweh has promised to them that love. Do you love him? So he's asking you to endure the tests, the thoughts, the suggestions, the temptations. If you can navigate through that, he's got something for you. What has he got for you? It's the crown of life that he's promised to those who what? Love him. And let's go to on the 13th verse. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted. The temptations and the tests don't come from your God people. Hello? That's not his MO. That's not his modus operandi. That's not how he rolls. He don't have to test you because he already knows you. He don't have to test his word because he knows his word is already true. He don't have to experiment with you. He already knows the beginning and the end. Why? Because he's Alpha and Omega. So he ain't going to tempt you. He's letting you know that if you can endure the temptation that other dude is bringing to you, then he say, I got something for you. And what I got for you is the what? Crown of life. Anybody want what he got for you? Right? He got it for you. But you got to make it through that what? But how do we make it through that? Because it's that mind gate. You got to be able to navigate those thoughts. Why? Because the enemy is throwing it at you, dude. Brothers, he's telling you that you can always find a better looking woman. You can always find better. No, you better love the one you're with. Who said that? Luther? All right. Because guess what? This is what I say. I thank Yahweh for my wife Stephanie. She is made for me. Custom made for me. She can deal with what comes with this situation. And I cannot imagine trying to get to learn somebody all over again. I know this woman. I know her. And I have spent 30 years with her. Amen. And we still figuring stuff out. So I cannot imagine trying to get to learn somebody else all over again. That's for the birds. I'm loving the one I'm with. So, the tempter, the fowler, the enemy, the adversary, he's always trying to break up what you got. He's always trying to mess it up. And you got to stop entertaining that stuff. Even now. Sisters, you looking for a dude that got a six pack. You better keep the one pack. Because you just don't know what you're getting. That six pack or that eight pack could be the worst thing in a pair of pants that ever came your way. Somebody say, amen. You know, there's something endearing about that one pack. You know, you better love that. But the enemy is always going to cry, and the media is using it all the time. You know, you need to look this way, and you need to look that way. It's not real. It's airbrushed. Photoshopped. So you got to understand. And so the last thing I'm going to leave you with. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Why? Because Yahweh cannot be tempted with either. Neither does he what? Tempt any man. Because people, I hate when people say, yeah, you know, God, you know, he put me through this trial. And, oh, yeah, God, you know, he's tempting, he's testing me. Stop! You don't know what you're talking about. Because the God that you serve don't have to tempt and test you. He's telling you, all you got to do is endure to the end. Just keep your eyes on me. I got something for you. I got a reward for you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to bring you through. I'm going to provide for you. Just hold on. Because the enemy got that obstacle course. But if you make it to the end, right, there's going to be what? A crown of life. And the 14th verse says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his. Get this. The enemy's only going to come with something because he sees something in you. He sees a toehold. He sees a open door. And he knows how every one of y'all, he gets you some kind of way. See, he knows that chocolate is something that he can get me with. He can try to get me with. Somebody said dark chocolate. I didn't say that, mother. Mother? Don't give away yours. But somebody, maybe it could be sexual for somebody. From somebody else, it could be food, right? Somebody else, it could be money. He knows what your flavor is. And if he sees your flavor, he's going to what? He's going to put it out there and see what you're going to do. Brothers, some of you, why did you put that thought in the air?
He says, for somebody is twerking. Okay. All right, brother. But don't let him get you. Tell your neighbor, get your mind right.
Get your mind right. Get it together.
Because guess what? If you can get your mind right, he has got a crown of life for you. Somebody thank him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father Yahweh, we just thank you and praise you for this teaching, for this study that we're doing. Because Yahweh, we want, our desire is to be who you need us to be, where you need us to be, what you want us to be.